This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
1 Kings chapter 10. Who wants to read for us, one or two people? Please read chapter 10 from verse 1 to verse 13. Someone read it for us. Start from verse 1. Read all the way to verse 13.
When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. When the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials, who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." And she gave the king 120 talents of gold, large quantities of spices, and precious stones. Never again were so many spices brought in as those the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Hiram's ships brought gold from Ophir, and from there they brought great cargoes of almugwood and precious stones. The king used the almugwood to make supports for the temple of the Lord and for the royal palace, and to make harps and lyres for the musicians. So much almugwood has never been imported or seen since that day. King Solomon gave the queen of Sheba all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned with her retinue to her own country.
All right. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the time that we have now, Lord, to share it. Father, we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you'll speak to us, Lord, and somehow, Lord, draw us closer to you as we look at your word, Lord. Father, I pray that you give us heart to listen. I pray that you give us, Lord, the anointing to hear. Father, I pray that you give us the power to obey, the power to act on what we hear, Lord. Father, we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. I usually don't give a title to my messages, but I want to call this the journey to happiness. So there is this queen of Sheba that will be modern day Yemen or wherever. It doesn't really matter. This person is a queen. She's someone who has power. She reigns over a land She's the highest person in that land. This is a queen who reigns over a land. She has positions and she has, obviously, she has great wealth and all these things. But for whatever reason, this queen, despite all her power, despite her position, despite the money, despite everything she had, she realized that she had questions that she could not find answers to. This is a queen. She rules over her land. She has power. She has money. She's got everything. But at the same time, this queen had some questions. She had things that were perplexing her. She had things that were bothering her. She had certain things that were troubling her that she needed answers to. And she could not find those answers in her land. None of her wise people could give her an answer to those questions, obviously. And it is similar to what you see in the book of Daniel when the king of Babylon has a dream and no one can interpret that dream for him. There is the fact that all of us, regardless of who we are, regardless of where we come from in life, regardless of how much money you have, regardless of how much power you have, regardless of what, there's one thing that unites all people, is that we all have problems that we have no answers to. We all have questions that we have no answers to, and that no one in our normal environment can help us with. There are issues that friends don't, questions that friends don't have answers to, things you're struggling with in your heart, decisions that you're battling with. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Should I go there? How do I get free from this? How do I turn away from this? Where do I find a healing for this thing? Is this a health situation going to take me out? And things like that. There are questions that we don't have answers to. And this queen realized that. I don't know what was bothering her. We do not know. The Bible doesn't tell this to us. But she had some questions. And the truth is, all of us have to come to a point where we realize we need help, where we realize that we have issues in our lives that we do not have answers to. The Bible says that this queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, and she came to test him with very hard questions. She came to test him with very hard questions. She had questions that were hard. Now, no, people think that if you question, if you bring issues, you're being bad, you're doubting faith. I don't believe in that kind of faith. I don't believe in faith where you just, there's something about being realist that God respects, right? Saying that, oh, praise the Lord, I'm okay and everything is good. When nothing is good, it's not faith. That's falsehood. That's playing games. It's playing religion. I don't like it, okay? I don't like to be in a place where life is not there. People say, yeah, we're doing great. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's not faith. That's lack of realism. And that's not faith. Faith is not living in denial. Faith is not living in self-deception. Faith is not telling yourself, yes, I know the Bible says that God calls the things that are not as though they were and things like that. But the person who's calling them as the things that are not realizes that those things are not there yet. Right, there's an honesty in approaching God. We have to realize that God, I'm in a place where I'm confused. I don't have the answers. Things are broken in my life. They're not coming together. That is the reality of what things are today. When a person has the honesty to say that, In church, we have this thing where everybody is trying to feel spiritual. If you say, well, I'm struggling with this, you're like, oh, no, let me not say that because everybody's going to think that I'm not spiritual. This queen had a question. Can you imagine for a second, the president of the United States has questions that he cannot find answers to, and he decides to take a trip to the president of France to go get an answer for him? Do you know how humiliating that is? People are going to say, well, don't you have advisors here? Don't you have wise people here? You're going to go to another country's king to find an answer. That's exactly what this queen did. There has to be that. How do you pursue happiness? How do you find happiness? How do you find the fulfillment? You begin with a humility. You begin with humble honesty. You begin with humble honesty that says, you know what? I have got some issue, I've got some questions here that I do not have answers to. I have some problems here that I don't have a solution to. I have some issues that are too big for me, they're too hard for me. I don't know how to handle this thing. There's that honesty, and then there's the humility to begin that journey. This queen heard, somebody came and told her. Somebody came and said, look, there's this king over in this land of Israel. And this king is wise. There's some kind of wisdom God has given to him. There's some kind of, he gives answers to people. Somebody just told her that. Now, she didn't know if this person was lying. She didn't know if this person was exaggerating. But she held on to that. Now, for you and for me, at some point, somebody came and told you. Somebody came and said to you, if you would only turn to God, if you only go to this Christ, then if you only go to the Lord, if you only turn to God, God is going to give you an answer. God is going to explain this issue to you. God's going to give you an answer. At some point, somebody came and just told you that. Now, this queen, she saw no miracle. No one said that. She saw no miracle. There was nothing. She just heard a report about another human being, a man, Solomon. And she decided to pack up, go on a journey, and go find this man and pour out her heart to him. You and I have heard, I have told you this many times, you have issues, turn to God. Pray. Turn to God, make time for Him. You've heard me say that. You've heard me say, we've had the testimony of countless number of people who have come before us, people who are now alive, who have told us, I sought the Lord and He answered me. I went after God and He gave me an answer. The truth is that you and I have more testimony than this woman had to go to Solomon. People have told us more than this woman heard. She just heard the report and she acted on it. She was hungry for the truth. Once she heard that report, this lady packed up. And this was not in the Bible said this was not in the days when you take a plane and you fly, you know, 5 hours and you're in another part of the continent. She loaded up her camels or whatever else she had and planned. And in those months, it probably took her several weeks, maybe a couple of months to reach where she was going. Can you imagine that? A queen humbling herself to that point, packing all her stuff, taking a long journey to Israel, to Jerusalem, in order to meet with Solomon. I want to say to you that if you want, you see, you and I are used to an instant kind of Christianity, you know, because there are so many things that have gotten fast. Like I said, you want to go to New York, you hop on the flight, 35 minutes, you're there. You want a coffee, you go to the machine, you press the button, this thing comes, you have it, you want a Coke, you go to the machine, you insert this quarter, you punch a button, out comes the Coke. It's not like that in the things of God. This lady had to take a journey, and that journey was a long journey. It was actually a perilous journey. It took weeks, maybe in the order of months. She had to seek and go and go and go and go and go until she found Jerusalem. There is a seeking. It speaks about a desire. She wanted the truth. She wanted reality. She wanted the reality of God. She wanted answers to her questions. She was not satisfied with just living. Now, let me say this. There are many people who have the same issues. There were probably other kings and other queens in the days of this woman. In the days of this, there were other kings and other queens who had the same problems, who were battling with the same issues. But they preferred to live with them. And who also heard about the wisdom of Solomon. They were either too proud or too dishonest to take that journey and begin it. I wanna say to you that those who make the most progress with God are those who they're from various. If you read church history, you read Christian biography, you'll find that those who made progress with God were people of different kind. They were from different background, different. They didn't even agree on everything theological. But the thing that you'll find that they had in common, they were all people who at some point in their lives came to the point where they say, God, I can't live like this anymore. I see one thing in your word. I see the promises of scripture. I see the victorious life that a Christian is supposed to live. I see the way God moves in people's lives in your word. But then I look at my life and I don't see that. Something is wrong here. God, I need an answer. Something needs to change in my life. God, I need an answer. Those people who sought God and who made progress with God all came to that point. And they embarked on this journey where they're like, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what it takes. I am going to go. I'm going to put in the time. I'm going to start this journey and I'm going to go find him. I'm going to go get there. I'm going to get to God somehow. So this queen goes, and not only did she take a long journey, the Bible also said that she came with something to give. There is a cost to it. The Bible said that she gave the king 120 talents of gold. That's 4.5 tons of gold. It is 4.5 tons of gold. Tons of gold. That is a lot of gold. It is a lot. You put it in today's dollars, it's an astronomical number. Okay? She brought that to the king. Large quantities of spices, precious stone. The Bible said never were so many brought as those the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. They'd never seen anything like that in the whole kingdom. Not only was this lady willing to bring, willing to take in the time, she realized that there is a cost to coming. It's going to cost me something. It's going to take something of what I have. The truth is this. Most people are coming to God in order just to get something from him. Now, this woman, she was not in denial. Like I said, faith is not denial. There are still some people who say, I just want to give to God. I don't want anything from God. That's not me. There are many things that I want from God. And I'm not in denial about that. However, it's also true that this lady went to the king with a giver's attitude. She wasn't just there to come and get from the king answers to her questions, but she went there giving. She went there with like, you know, Lord, I want to give to, and I want to say to you, this is a principle in scripture. King Saul had a question. I won't go through the details of the story, but suffice it to say that Saul, the son of Kish, was looking for his father's donkeys. There, he had some things that were lost, and he didn't know how to find it. And then they were passing through a city, and they told him, here, there is a seer over there. There's a man there who will give you an answer to your question. similar to this, and that man was Samuel. And then Saul said, but what do we have that we can take to the seer? What do we have? And his servant said, I have a coin here. He realized that he won't just be going there and getting something he had to give. Now, I'm not saying that is that. Let me be clear, so lest someone misunderstand. That doesn't mean bringing. I know a lot of people interpret this as bringing money to the man of God. That is biblical. Yes, it's true. But that's not what I'm talking about today. Here, I'm talking about giving of ourselves to God. Giving gold is like the most precious thing. It is giving. It's saying to God, God, I'm willing to give you the most precious thing that I have. I'm willing to give of the best of my life, the best of my abilities, the best of my gifts and talents and what I have, my time and everything. God, I'm willing to give that to you. But God, at the same time, I'm realizing, God, there are things that only you can give to me. But you see, Solomon was a wealthy man. The Bible says that he had more money than any other king. The queen wasn't, this was not a transaction. The queen wasn't bringing things to Solomon because Solomon was in need. Right? He was wealthier than her. But she brought things to him because she realized this man was worthy of the best thing that I can give. He was worthy of the best gift. He was worthy of receiving the best gift. And her gift, the gift that she brought to him was recorded in the Word of God as having no equal. What she brought to him, there was no one who ever brought such gifts to Jerusalem. That journey to happiness, that journey to getting to the king was a long journey, and it was a journey that was also costly. When you come to God, when you begin to get close to Him, when you begin to take that journey and to say, God, I want to get some answer for you. God, I want your reality in my life. There are things that God will show you that are going to cost you. There are things you're going to have to part with. There are certain things you're going to have to give up. The truth is, many people don't want to cut certain things from their life. There are certain friendships you need to cut off. There are certain people in your life who are bad influences. I know everybody likes to say, and I don't know why is it that that's hard to admit. I know people everyone likes to say, I'm my own man. Look, I'm my own person. I do whatever I want. That's not true. Lie. We're all influenceable people. God made us like that. People influence you. The only choice you have is who you're going to allow to influence your life. What you listen to on television, what you watch, the music you listen to, the friends you talk to, those things shape you into who you become. Let me say that again. I don't care how small you are. I don't know if you have what degree you have. I don't know how much money you do. I don't know how smart, how strong-willed you think you are. The truth of the matter is this, folks. What you watch, what you listen to, the friends you hang, the people you put closest to you, they will influence who you become. 10 years from now, you will be the person that those you put around you made you into. You watch these things, let me suggest something to you. Take a media fast. Tell yourself, just for one week, no Facebook, even cut off news. I follow news faithfully. I'm not saying that anything of this. Just asking you, cut off Facebook news. Get the earphones off your ears. Just take a 1 week. No TV, no anything. Let me tell you that you will hear the voice of God clear. You try it just for 1 week. You think it's easy? Try it for 1 week. It will tell you that if you're an honest person, you will realize that the things that you hear, the input that you allow to come through your eyes, to your ears, those are the gateways to your soul. Do you know that? Your ears, your eyes, those are the doors to enter into your soul. I'm talking to you right now. I'm trying to reach your heart with what I'm saying. I'm going through your ears. Those are your eyes. Those are the gateways to your heart. And then the Bible says, from the heart flows all the other things of life. The things you read. That's why, if you also don't spend time reading the Word of God, you don't spend time seeing the Lord, you're just not serious about your life changing. I want to say that with a lot of love, but I want to say that to you responsibly and truthfully. If you don't take time to read, you're like, you read it one day, 1 week, after 1 week, you're just not serious about things changing in your life. It's the truth. Because in any person's life, you choose the influences that make you into who you are. One of those influences you can get is the Word of God. Just like you can watch a filthy show on TV. Everybody's talking about Game of Thrones. I don't know what the story is there with that. And I'm not against people having television. I don't have one, as you can see here. I don't say out to other people that they shouldn't. I think there are some things that you can watch on there that are quite innocent. It depends on how much of it you consume or whatever. I don't make rules for other people. But I want to say, though, that if the things that you choose in your life to influence you, the things you consume will turn you into who you are. You read the Word of God, it will influence you. You're going to learn how God thinks when you read the Bible. You're going to realize how He acts. You're going to have a vision of His character. The things that you watch, the things you read will influence you. The people you put around you will influence you. Those are gateways to your soul. I listen, some of you think, I come here and I share every Sunday. But let me tell you that I try to feed myself. I listen to stuff, not so that I can, and that's the thing that you may or may not believe. I go out and I listen to sermons and I watch sermons. I search the web for, there aren't many, but for good sources of truth, for my own spiritual well-being, for my own spiritual feeding. And I gave my life to Christ over 20 years ago. I have more than 20 years of walking with God. And I go out there and I search and I'm hungry. I look for what can feed my soul. I search. I read books either because I'm trying to get closer to God. It's not so I can get ideas and come here and preach it to other people. I don't. I actually spent very little time. I asked myself, what am I going to go and talk to other people? And what am I going to go and share to other people? I don't know. What I go after, I'm like, God, is there how you speak? God, can I have a word? Are you speaking? What can I listen to that's going to speak to, that God's going to use to speak to me and to my current circumstances? I have a tremendous hunger for that. And there's nothing, there are few things that give me more pleasure than to know God is speaking to me and this is what He's saying. And He's addressing the issues in my life right now. And I hope that is the case for you. If you don't have that hunger, ask God to give that to you. And ask God to put that desire for you, because the things you consume, the things you allow to come into your life are going to determine who you're going to become a year from now, 2 years from now. All right, I think I've made that point. Let me come back to my message here. So where's the happiness here? Verse 6, the queen said to the king, the report I heard in my own country about your achievement, your wisdom is true, but I did not believe this thing until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom, in wealth, you far exceed the report I heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your official who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Listen, those, the happiest people in the world, the most fulfilled people in the world, are those who stand in the presence of God continually. She said, how happy must your official who continually stand before you, how happy they must be. Find me a genuinely happy and fulfilled man. I'll show you a man who stands in the presence of God and lingers there. I'll show you somebody who hangs out with God. The happiest people are those who hang out with Jesus Christ. That is the pursuit. That is the journey to finding happiness. It is the journey to finding Jesus Christ. It is the journey to getting closer to Him. He said that those who stand before you are blessed because the things I heard about you, not even half was told to me. Usually, when you meet people, you find out that the expectations were too high, right? People tell you, especially if you meet some famous person, let's say you meet an actor, you know, you've always heard all these things. The truth is, when you meet these people and you get to spend time with them, you become unimpressed. You find out that they're all kinds of things in there. Their lives are broken and wrong. And the image that you had of them isn't the image of who they are. Now, and that's true sometimes even of church leaders. But as a Christian, that should be the opposite, by the way. Do you know that? What people know of you outside should be, the truth is, should be that the closer people get to your life, the more they're like, oh man, I never realized how much of your godliness was hidden away. I never even realized how much of your... It means that the people who are close, the person who's closest to you, the person who knows you best, ought to be the person who knows best how godly you are, more so than those who are outside. I believe that because Jesus, the Bible says that it is roots. Jesus said that those who... He compared the righteous person to the person who has roots, and a lot of the root of the tree is underground. And when a tree grows, the deeper the root, you see the tree, but a lot of that tree is underground. It's like that with the righteous person. Their roots go really, 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 really deep. And if you were to take the earth was to open, and you were to see that the part of the tree that's hidden, you'll be like, wow, that's impressive. It ought to be like that. But when you come to Christ, when you come to God, when we get closer to Him, you find out that there is so much more wealth, so much more wisdom, so much more in God than you ever could describe. There is more to it than words could say. There's more to it than a preacher could have told you. There's something about Christ that when you meet Him, when you get closer to Him, you realize that He far exceeds what any person and what any man could ever explain to you. And happy are those who stand in His presence continually, who get to hang out with Him. There's a joy, you see, I've said this that many times here before. We're in a generation that's pursuing entertainment so much, and the reason for that is because people don't have joy. And entertainment has become their substitute for joy. There's nothing wrong with entertainment that is clean and pure, and that exists. But the problem is when you start to use it as a substitute for joy, then you go from one attempt to entertain yourself to another, to another, to another, and you find out that that cannot meet the need of your heart. There is a need in our hearts that only God can meet. There is a desire in our heart that only a closer and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ is going to address. And blessed are those. So in these last days that we live in, God has spoken to us, the Bible says in Hebrews, through His Son. And you know, In these last days, God has spoken to us through His Son. And the Son of God came, the Bible says to us, to be greater than even the and that He's even greater than Solomon. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 12, the Bible says that in verse 42, the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now one greater than Solomon is here. That's Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here. Jesus Christ is here, and He is greater than the Queen of Sheba. Heard about the man Solomon. She took the journey to go meet King Solomon. The Bible says that he answered her question, but, you know, the Word of God tells us here that Jesus Christ is even greater than Solomon. He has the answer for your issues. He has the answer for your problem. He has the answer for my life. He is wisdom itself. And if you go back to 1 Kings for a second, I'm going to close with this. Verse 13, the Bible says, King Solomon gave the queen all she desired and asked for, besides what he had given her out of his royal bounty. Then she left and returned to her, returned with her retinue to her own country. The king actually gave the queen more than she had brought to him. And she answered her beyond anything she had asked for. It is like that when we come to God. You come to Him with your issues. You come to Him with your questions. You come to Him with a sincere heart. He will answer you. And in the end, you discover that even if you brought Him 4.5 tons of gold or whatever it is, even if you brought him your whole life, in the end, when the story is done, He would have given you more than you ever gave to Him. And He would have answered you far beyond anything you were asking. Today, the Bible said that Jesus Christ is here. And that queen, obviously, the Bible, from what Jesus is saying, clearly this queen somehow made it to heaven. The wisdom that Solomon gave him must have been was wisdom that God gave him. So in there, He must have told her about the God of heaven. You see that here in verse 9. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. She became a believer in the God of Israel. And Jesus says that on that day, she will rise up and tell us, why did you not seek after the one who was greater than Solomon? I took a journey. I went to him. I loaded him with all my questions. And he was giving me answer. And he was not even the Son of God. Today, the Son of God is here. God has given us Jesus Christ. And He is willing and able to meet us, to touch us, to answer us. You and I should take Him up on that offer and turn to Him. The truth is that we often turn to men for answers. We turn to men. We turn to people. We call people. It's like, you know what this one did to me? How, you know, and we'd hope that somebody, maybe a spiritual man, maybe someone. The truth of the matter is, We have to learn to get to God. We have to learn to get to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you go to the other extreme. When folks go and they hear things, they say something spoke to me, and they run with it. I don't believe in that, but one cannot be substituted for the other. We have to get to Christ somehow, and we have to go to Him with our honest, real needs, and turn to Him in a genuine way, in an honest and humble way, being willing to take that journey until we find Him. I encourage you to do that this week. Take the time. Take the time. Begin. If you don't know where to begin, I'll say what I've said many times. Begin in the Gospel of Luke or Matthew, whatever. Begin to read. Take that time. If you spend 15 minutes a day, you'll read the whole New Testament in 3 months. Take the time. Read the Word of God. Seek Jesus Christ in prayer. Pour out your real problems to Him. Be honest with Him. Say, God, I'm struggling with this sin. I love this sin. I like to practice this thing. And I don't know how to stop liking it. God, help me. God will hear that kind of prayer. He'll answer you. Tell God, God, I'm lazy. I don't like doing anything. Help me with my laziness. God, I'm confused. I don't even know if you're there. Please, answer me. God will answer that kind of honest cry and sincere cry. Go to God, say, Lord, I'm in financial difficulty. I need your help. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to go. Lord, answer me. What do you want me to do? Lord, I have a daughter. I don't know how to have them. Can you help me? God will answer those kinds of honest questions. And in the end, you'll discover that as you spend time and made that journey in His presence, you become one of those who are happy and blessed, like it says there. Blessed are those officials of yours who stand in your presence continually. Blessed are those who go before God and stand in His presence continually and seek Him and hear His wisdom and hear from Him. They are blessed. All right. Amen.